But you may have looked on the map and you've seen a place, there's a little dot that says Seymour, Missouri, and you believed that. And you pursued the route that, you traveled the route they took to get to this place. This morning we are on a journey much dearer, much more important than that, that we have not seen all the roads, so we journey by faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's turn over to James chapter 2, verse 18. And verse 17 and 18. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. The last phrase is what I want to look at. I will show thee my faith by my works. We come back to our text verse in Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Why is that such a profound statement in the Christian life? Let me give you a natural example. Years ago, in one of our larger cities, I believe it was, there was a high-rise apartment on fire. The fire department came and they thought they had rescued basically everybody that was out of it. The fire is blazing. The fire is shooting out of the windows. And all of a sudden, somebody happens to look up and he sees two children looking out the window. And they told these two children, said, jump. They got a big sheet or a blanket and they told the children to jump out. The children would not do it. Why? They did not trust the people holding the blanket. They were there screaming in a louder voice saying, children, jump. These children were perfectly satisfied in their environment that they were in at that very minute. A man walked around the corner, evaluates the situation, and he says, children, jump. They jumped to safety instantly. Who was that man? It was their father. Those children had a relationship with their father. This morning, I would like to use that little example. You and I are in the, we find ourselves in a shell of outside of Jesus Christ, in a burning condition. We're lost. And he comes along and he says, I want to save you. But do you have that faith that he can save you? And that he will save you? That's where it comes in and says, I have said already that this verse has the two elements as all it takes to become a Christian. You must believe that there is a God. And the second one is you must believe that God is going to do everything it takes to cleanse your heart, to purify your mind, and to prepare you for that journey that lies ahead. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe. Rewarder. What's a rewarder? We all know that to us that have traveled the Christian life for several years, we know that God supplies our need daily. We get a fresh supply daily, right? He supplies our needs every hour, every minute. He carries us through. Diligently seek him. That is why so many people are losing out on their Christian life. They lose their diligence. Brothers and sisters, this morning we are running a race. And to youth or children that run a race, you know, have relays in school or whatever, when we get closer to the destination, the adrenaline kicks in and we put forth all the effort we have because we want to win. This morning we are not in a natural race, but yet we are each day getting closer to that goal. And let's give it all we have. Diligently seek him. Faith is an unwavering trust in God, as I gave that example. A calm, complete confidence in God and the manifestation of his will in our lives. I love that example, a calm, complete confidence. How is it in your life this morning? Is that calmness there? Do you have that faith in God? Or do you feel that you need to modify those things to fit your plan? I have seen people who wanted to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. They wanted to commit their lives, but they just weren't sure how it's going to work. Dear friends, this morning, you don't have to know how it's going to work. We're going to go back and we're going to journey with a man in the Old Testament for quite a bit of his life. You don't have to know the details this morning. What God wants is commitment. Don't come to God with your plans and say, this is what I want to do. Give God the empty sheet and say, fill in the blanks for me. But that's so hard to do. And yet, as the songwriter says, each victory will help you another to win. Every day that we journey with God should make the next day easier to journey. And that is what some people find so difficult. Let's turn back into the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 11. We have a man in the Old Testament here that we admire for his faith. And sometimes I wish there would be a way that we could just block all our memory out of Old Testament characters. And we would just read the story like we have never heard it before to truly journey with them. Because in our minds we know the end result. Of those that names are written in Hebrews 11, it says by faith Abraham. You know, after all, he was a faithful man. That's why he got it. But let's look at his life. Hebrews 11 verse 31 and 32. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son's Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. I'm only going to reflect on this verse, but in Joshua 2:24 verse 2, the last part says, your father, talking about Abram, dwelt on the other side of the flood at old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nachar, and they served other gods. Abraham was not, may we say, of a Jewish lineage of known to be serving God. I believe his father, if I understand it right, was an ungodly priest. But Abram made a choice. Dear friends, this morning, you and I, each one of us, needs to make a physical choice. I cannot make the decision for you. You need to make it yourself. Going on to chapter 12. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there built he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. That's all we're going to read. We're not going to read near all the account, but we want to reflect on various parts of Abram's life. Verse 1 of chapter 12. We have here that, and what we read here in chapter 11, Terah and Abram, I'm not sure why, but roughly if you look at the map, it looks like they must have moved around 600 miles. But we don't read anything of God telling Terah to move. But in verse 1 of chapter 12 it says, now the Lord said unto Abraham. So there was a relationship there. There was a reverence there, may we say, because it's when God spoke, he says, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. And he goes on and says what he's supposed to do. In verse 4, it says what? It says Abraham departed. There was obedience there. Now this morning, if I would tell you that if you go to so-and-so place, I'm going to give you a nice business, I'm going to give you a nice car, and you're going to have, to the young people, you're going to find a godly wife, and you're going to have a nice family, you're going to have a lot of nice things happening for you, how many of you would be willing to go? That's kind of, may we say, in 2015 language, what was promised to Abram. But Abraham takes this journey, and we think that when we journey with God, we have a right to be a blessed people. I'm afraid that's the mentality of too many Christian people. But let's look at Abram's life. See what he went through. But we have him starting out on this journey. We have him preparing for the days ahead as he left. God promises him a great nation, but the thing that I find interesting in verse 2, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Brethren and sisters this morning, are you a blessing? If you are a blessed person, you should be a blessing. Don't be a sponge and absorb everything. Sometimes I'm afraid that's the mentality that we're acquiring in the society that we live in. We absorb everything. But here it says that you will be a blessing. Does it mean that you have to be a Sunday school teacher? Does it mean you have to be a school teacher to be a blessing? The smile on your face Monday mornings can be a blessing to someone. It's a reflection of God's love radiating to you and relating to others. But then also, in verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. Here I believe there was a hedge. There was a protection around him. This morning, you and I have a protection from the elements that are outside there. But much more this morning, we have the blessing of being protected from Satan's darts if we have a living faith. There is few things more miserable than procrastinating obedience and being hurt by the darts of the wicked one. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. When God says, I want you to do this, and we don't listen, and Satan comes along and we fall, what goes through our mind? I did not follow, I did not obey, and therefore I find myself failing. Faith moves ahead, moves with God, and he was going to be a blessing to those that he come in contact with. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This morning, I believe our communities are blessed being because of godly people being in the community. It doesn't say it's going to be prosperous. It doesn't say that you're going to have all kinds of material gain, but there is a blessing that goes with God's people. Why did God ask Abram to move? You know, when we went to school, our teachers used to give us quizzes. Actually, what was the quiz for? To kind of wear us down so that when the test comes that we'll fail. Is that the idea a teacher gives a quiz? No. The quiz was to prepare you for the test. The testings that come our way, dear friends, this morning, the quizzes in life are to prepare us for the test that's coming. Tomorrow. We don't not know what tomorrow may bring. So what is an example we could look at in the Old Testament is the children of Israel. You know, when Moses went and talked to Pharaoh, and he told him, I'd like to take these people out. We know the story there. Pharaoh turns around and he says, make them work harder. Not realizing that he was developing their natural muscles and strength in their bodies for the treacherous journey that was going to be ahead. This morning, wherever you find yourself in life, brothers and sisters, remember, the winds that blow outside, naturally speaking, are they made to topple the tree or are they made to strengthen the tree? The winds, the breezes, the trials, the tests that come in our life, God does not allow them to come. He's not willing that any should perish. He's not wanting these things to topple us. He's wanting us to strengthen us and to root down into the Word of God. That's what those things are for. But when God asked Abram to move out, now if you just live in a tent, it wouldn't be that hard to move, would it? Pack up your tent, put it in your backpack, and move. Well, but that was home for him. God asked Abram to move out of his country, move out of the places that he was accustomed to move out of his pleasant surroundings, and start walking, and I'm going to show you where you're supposed to go. I like to know my destination before I start driving. I like to plan out my route before I start driving. Why? It gives me assurance. I think I know what I'm doing. naturally sometimes, or spiritually sometimes, I believe that's what's holding people back. Obedience will stay when God says stay, and will move when God says move. Sometimes it takes faith to step out, and sometimes it takes faith to hold still. But the needs of the hours are always met when we commit our hands into God's hands. Do not let the conference of today rob you of the peace in knowing that you are in God's will tomorrow. Then we have the promises that I reflected upon. I'd like to just mention them again. But these promises were contingent on verse 1. The obedience of verse 1 is why he could claim these promises. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless. Can someone this morning, if you want to tell me sometime the limit of God's blessings, I'd like to hear it. If you can describe what the limit is of God's blessings. Because in my mind, I can't. When I think of all the blessings God has given us, and I think I may have mentioned them all, and all of a sudden you think, oh, I didn't even start yet. He was going to have a blessed, respected name in the future. But the thing that blesses me through this journey, in verse 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto thy seed will I give this land, and there built he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. When Abram was traveling, he took time to worship. And it's important today that we take time to worship. In the busyness of our life, do you take time to build that altar to worship God? That's what he did. But then what about verse 10? God gave him all these promises. God gave him all, and he was so faithful. Why did verse 10 fit in this story? And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to serve them there, for the famine was grievous in the land. This was a breeze, may I say. This was a wind. This was a quiz in Abram's life. Now, you and I this morning, we had enough to eat. We had enough to wear. We could come to church. But what if the famine would approach us? Something, if we'd have a famine happening in our lives of some kind, would we still be faithful to God? Let's go over to, we're going to cruise further through his life rapidly, but let's go over to Genesis chapter 22. Realizing that he was told that he was going to be make of them a great nation. And Genesis 22, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. I don't know how many years difference this is, but there was still a connection there. I'd like to look at a natural example this morning. I'm assuming within this building there's electrical wires. Now maybe the sisters, you don't connect with that as well as the brethren. But if some of you are electricians and know much more about it than I do. But have any of you ever seen electricity traveling down a wire? Has anybody ever seen that happen? No. So actually now, we don't even believe there's electricity here then. We don't believe there's electric in the wire because we can't see it. We got to feel it before we believe it. Okay? We have a device we call a tester to find out what's in that wire. Is it 110, 220, 440? We can't see it, but there's ways of revealing what's inside that coating. Sometimes God puts the tester on to see what kind of voltage we have. Is he disappointed? I like to think of that thought here when it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. May I use the word test in there? I don't think I'm deviating from the scriptures to say that. He tested Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. I'd like to continue reading here several verses in Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer thee him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. I want to pause here. Remember that promise that we read back earlier? I will make of thee a great nation. And Abraham continues to live day after day, and he becomes an old man, and he still has no children, and he's thinking, now God, I don't doubt you, God. I believe what you said. But in the same time, God, how are you going to answer this? I commit it to you. And he jurors on with his work. And one day he's revealed he's going to have a son. And this son is born. And I believe Abraham was so rejoicing. God has answered that promise that he has given. And then he comes along and God talks to Abraham again. And he says, Abraham, in verse 2, what we just read, he says, take now thy son, thine only son, the son that you love so dearly. Travel with me closely as we read this. Verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men and Isaac his son that he loved so well, filling that in, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come to you. And Abram took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Fathers, this morning, put yourself in Abraham's place. If you were asked the question that Abraham was just asked here, could you calmly say what he did in verse 8? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. I would say there was some moments of silence as they continued their journey there together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mouth of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, by myself have I sworn this, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of thine enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. This is one of the greatest acts of obedience, I believe, recorded in history. A father that was so committed to do God's will that he was willing to slay his son. We journeyed up to there. What do you think they talked about when Abraham and Isaac walked back to the men again? Do you think Isaac was there and said, Father, I am so glad for the ram that you seen in the thicket there, because I want to spend time with you. Abraham, Father, I know you love God. I know you love me, but I know you love God. Are you going to have done what you did? I don't know what their conversation was, but this was an act of obedience. It was an act of faith. Human reasoning, Abraham would have never done what he did. Our depth of surrender to God's will is what unlocks the storehouse of God's blessings. How committed are you this morning? How surrendered are you this morning? Are you willing to leave your home, your lands, your whatever, and do whatever God has called you to do? It saddens me how many people we see in life who could be so useful in kingdom work, but they're like the monkey in the jungles. I am told that if you want to trap a monkey, put peanuts inside a box and have a little hole. And he'll reach in there and he'll grab a hold of the monkey, the peanuts, and he'll hang on to it and he will not let go. So what? He's trapped. Satan is putting so many little things and people are holding on to them and not releasing them, so they are in bondage to his trap. Dear brothers and sisters this morning, release them. Travel forth in faith. Let God have everything of your life. Be an Abraham. If you want to raise an Isaac, you're going to have to be an Abraham. The challenge to each one of us as parents. Many times we become frustrated and defeated because our wants, expectations, and demands are not immediately met as we follow God. And we become discouraged because the goal seems so far away. I'd like to go to the New Testament and look at several verses yet. In 2 Peter, I know we journey through Abram's life very, very rapidly. 2 Peter chapter 3. The next time you're tempted because of a trial you're facing, study the life of Abraham. Study the life of Noah. By faith, Noah built an ark to the saving of his household. He never seen a boat before. He never went in the boat before. He never seen it rain before. But he had a living faith, a working faith. That's why he walked into it. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Brethren and sisters, this morning, on the day of reckoning, there is going to be accuracy that mankind has never known before, I believe. The promises that God has promised to the faithful are going to exceed what we anticipated. It's going to be no back orders. There's not going to be anything forgotten. Humanly speaking today, sometimes we forget things. Not because we want to, but we're human. But that's not the God we serve. Then let's go over to Hebrews chapter 11. It's just wrapping up Abraham's life here. Hebrews 11, begin reading in verse 8. Well, let's back up and start reading at verse 6. It was our text verse, but I'd like to just emphasize it again. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you think Abraham could tell us that this morning that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him? I believe he could. Firsthand from experience. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with them of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Brothers and sisters, I believe why so often we fail. We forget this verse, the view, the Abraham view. He looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. We get short-sighted. If you have glasses this morning, you have bifocals, try wearing them upside down once. It distorts your vision. If we look down here, it distorts our vision. But if we look for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of the child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She judged him faithful who had promised. This morning, rest on the promises of God. Because God is faithful. The choice is, are you faithful? Am I faithful? Verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one, even and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they say such things, declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that is Isaac, shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Faith gains strength from practice, not speculation. May the life of Abraham challenge you and I this morning the importance that God places upon faithfulness. Because at the end of time, God is coming back for the faithful. Let's be amongst that list. May the Lord bless you.
Turn to number 6 in your church hymnal.